Go ye therefore and teach all nations. June 9, 1906. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Matthew 28, verse 9, 10. Read verses 11 to 15. Here is a circumstance where the most striking evidence was made known unto the Jews, and what was done with the testimony. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. So they took the money, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. There is true evidence smothered, and this same work will be done in this our day, even among those who once had the light and believed the truth, and have made false theories and worked them out. All these diversions from the commandments of God will bear testimony in that great day when truth will stand to vindicate itself. But at that day of revelation, it will be too late for the overgrasping to be righted. See Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verses 16, 17. There will always be men who will not accept evidence that is given them. We find this in every age of the world. Truth is smothered, and error is exalted and circulated as truth. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Verses 18 to 20. Here is the great work to be done. There is God's plan. Every fitting, holy agency is to bear a message in the Bible words. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Revelation 22, verse 17. Every consecrated plan is to be put into action to do this great and grand work. Christ, angels, and consecrated, converted workers are combined in the work of giving this last message of mercy to the world. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 17. Amen. Here is the plan in which every holy agency is combined and united for the recovery of man from Satan's snare. Every new force that receives the message is to join their powers of voice and pen to give the warning. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Verse 16. The Lord Jesus unites the wide extremes of divinity and humanity. This work is being done now to instruct the churches everywhere in the clear words of the gospel message. No mysteries are to be brought in. The simple gospel message is to go forth to instruct the churches in the light of the truth. The bright and morning star is to appear. I have opened a fountain of life for the perishing world. The Spirit and the Church, combined with Jesus Christ and angelic beings, are to work, comprising the church agencies that are to voice the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world and inviting, Come, publish my invitation to all nations, tongues, and people. And whosoever will, let him come and partake of the waters of life freely. And then, by their influence and by their voice and pen, they are to publish the message to be given to all parts of the world. I testify, therefore, that if any man shall alter the words of this book of this prophecy to hinder the practical working of heavenly angels combined with the imparting of the Spirit of grace, and hinder the word I will have accomplished, I will visit him with severest retribution. Nothing is to be said or done to lessen the efficiency of the messages which I have ordained to come to all nations, all tongues, and all people. This is the work to be done. the binding of means by unjust exactions, the underworking current that has been carried on for years that would bind up the means so that it shall not accomplish the very work God designs, by the working of lawyers, or by the men who work these lawyers to carry out their own purposes. All who do such are to receive their reward when every case shall be brought into judgment with every evil work. There is a long list of injustices that have retarded the work and diverted the truth from its executing the very work the Lord designed should be done. Every Christian mission is to be put in operation. Every message is to be taken up by the churches of today, who have the last message of mercy to give to the fallen churches. Sanitariums are to be conducted just as outlined in their first establishment. Giving the facts of the history of Seventh-day Adventists is a very great and important work, which should be repeated with every sanitarium established. God has given the message as to how they should be conducted, not after the world's policy plans, but for the conversion of souls. But the sanitarium at Battle Creek has been converted to the world in the place of converting the church to the principles of faith. We have a work to do to lift our voice and call for every sanitarium to come into line. But when the leader has lost his bearings and has not himself the truth that has made us what we are, and has called for property for sanitariums to advance his work, that man has not the truth in heart or soul or practice. Christ is not acknowledged, and the eternal foundations of the structure of truth have been made of no account through the fraudulent workings of doctors and lawyers. The refusal, in action and in dealings, of living and practicing the Word in Christian character results in the decline of Christian power. Where Christ is not acknowledged as the great power of efficiency, then prosperity is not seen in our work and in the sanitariums. The sanitariums were established to become an efficiency depending upon the ministry of Christ. The very necessity for which the sanitariums were brought into existence was to bring the last solemn message of warning to our world. But when the sanitarium becomes a worldly institution, as it is in Battle Creek, where the Sabbath is desecrated, then, in the place of the truth convincing of the claims of the Lord's Sabbath, it lessens the correcting force of truth. The less patronage that such a sanitarium shall receive from Seventh-day Adventists, the safer will be the morals and the religious faith. Our work is to keep families out of Battle Creek. Every jot and tittle of lawyers' influence that is brought in to help those who have tried, by every resource to bind up all institutions in Battle Creek, makes it a necessity to speak. Let every family in every church keep your children away from Battle Creek, for God has given me this message for years. Let the families who have been warned over and over again now heed these warnings. We are to go forth into all the world with the message of truth, and the warning is to be given continually. You cannot get your preparedness in Battle Creek, for the spiritual atmosphere is contaminated. Schools must be established in many places. No one mammoth school is to be centered in one place. Enlarge your powers of efficiency by scattering the location of your educational centers in various places. Christian devotedness has declined and lost its bearings when the man who stands as a responsible agent has not a pronounced faith. He was as a person, pretending to be, sent of God to our people, yet telling a collection of disconnected fallacies that will never produce true fruit. Many lives will be quenched. Our people were constantly to be missionaries, not bound to any one sanitarium for years, but under the divine teacher to go to work. The moment we lost sight of the expansive character of the work, then its influence was decreased, and the counter-influence of worldlings brought us through mysterious workings which no one can trace out. There must not be the slightest diversion of the object for which these institutions, sanitariums, schools, and churches are brought into existence. The power of our church is lessening, for those with worldly loving propensities are wide awake. Let every family that believes the truth be very careful how you expend your means. Dress plainly. Be diligent in acquiring means for the expansion of the work of converting the souls who are in the darkness of error. Do this work by leaving Battle Creek. When the church, many of the ministers or doctors are ever crying, higher wages and become extortioners, absorbing all possible in the place of being almoners. Then the world has begun to convert the church in the place of the church, converting the world, and doing their utmost to let their light shine forth to the world. They have lost their bearings and are not Bible Christians, whatever may be their profession. This kind of neglect the Lord Jesus would have changed. God has been working to bring the light of saving truth to churches.
I have a message to call upon the churches to have a pronounced faith. God has been working to bring the light of saving truth to our world. Arise and shine. Put away that class of reading that gives you no light. Wake up, brethren. Time is short. Let not one of you neglect your duty now. At the day of Pentecost, 3,000 converts were brought to the faith. We would have our young people arise and obtain a knowledge of the Word and its converting power. The works and words of Christ can be the sure evidence of what you present to the people in a Thus Saith the Lord. When the lesson of John 16 has been studied and you are willing to take the words Christ has commanded you to give, then the evidence will come to the people. Lo, I am with you always, says Christ, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. When the lesson in John 6 was given, many of his disciples walked away from Christ, and Christ turned to his remaining disciples and said to them, Will ye also go away? Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go but unto thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verses 67-68. Christ's teachings are precious in their simplicity. They are to be repeated and repeated. While Christ is sending his disciples to various places, he is walking and working in the midst of his church today through them. Let every soul seek daily to be a fully consecrated Christian. And as he sends you to fields that are not promising, Christ points to the many in darkness of error and tells you not to be discouraged at the appearance. He bids you to look, and he says, Ye were once in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 8. He would have you consider the objectionable features, and he says, Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Missions are opening in all parts of the world. The way of the Lord is being prepared. The commission is too plain to be misunderstood. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. We are in no wise to sit at ease, claiming to be Christians while localities are all around us and unworked. They have been left to remain in darkness and error. Among all nations there is to be a work done to convince the human agencies of sin. With the Word of God, publications and tracts go forth with the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 17. Each working force should have a head and should oft consult together. Each is a party that thus goes out. If they can find entrance into the homes of the settlements, and if, within the home there may be sickness, the understanding that you can do something to relieve this will be to them as the work of the Good Samaritan. Bear with you the little book, the parables, Christ's object lessons, and follow your judgment in reading portions of the little book. Dispose of it, if you can, for money, or make a gift for favors received. Tell them the history of Christ's object lessons. Loan it if they are not prepared to buy, and tell them to read it to their neighbors. You will surely have little books that will interest them. Of the thousands converted in a day at Pentecost, one subject was deeply impressed on their minds. One interest prevailed. Who should walk in the humble footsteps of Jesus Christ in doing the work he had given them to do? Christ Jesus had promised to be with them. The influence of his Spirit would follow them in their interested work to convince the world of sin. Christ was the unseen agency, and his field composed the world. God called on every believer in him to be his agency. Their lips were to speak forth his words, and their voice was to be the talent to convince the world of sin. Therefore, the law of God was to be their interested subject, and their voice sanctified and subdued by the Holy Spirit. Truth from his own lips, subjects on which he dwelt, were the weapons they were to use, learning every day. Make the voice pleasant. The subjects, in clear and distinct speech, may become the sword of the Spirit. Some who are more capable than others should be appointed for certain work, and Christ will make the impression on the hearers. Let everyone who can now begin to train his voice and lips to speak distinctly and with that fervor the subject requires. This is the very best educational school that our young men and young women can receive. To save the world was Christ's work. And did Christ fail? Did he come short in reality? No. No. Was his representation in his ministry meager, that anyone can imitate it without earnestly learning the importance of the great, grand truths that he carried, printed upon the heart and mind, and, that were, carried out in the example that Christ himself gave, a living, suffering sacrifice? Tell the story. In your humble measure, attempt the giving of the invitation. Christ died to save man, that he should not perish. Keep the Lord Jesus ever before you, and the best you can give in imitation of Christ's virtues. Put on Christ and practice his life of self-denial and self-sacrifice. He died to save the world, and he would save every soul if they would come and be obedient to his commandments. As you are teaching, let nothing be neglected, and do your uttermost to practice Christ's self-denial. This benevolence must be our work in life. His self-denial and self-sacrifice are to be practiced. The believers and followers of Christ are appointed to be his channels and representatives of his interested love and grace to save souls ready to perish. Let me tell you, an acknowledged Christ is your instrumentality in all your work. Never magnify self. Christ is your head. He sends you the Comforter, who should abide with you forever. We need in simple faith to claim the promise, and often and in every perplexity and emergency to claim the agency unseen yet visibly felt. What is your part? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28-29. Do not fret at anything. Take all your perplexities to the Lord in prayer, and do not burden any soul with your griefs or your sorrows. They have enough of their own. You have an unseen witness to consult, an unseen agency ever ready to receive you. We read that those who received the holy impartation of the Spirit 10 days after Christ ascended prayed and removed everything they supposed would be an hindrance. One subject of earnest seeking and hunger was above every other, to be a converted instrumentality endowed with the Spirit of Christ, so that they would never misrepresent him. The whole multitude who believed was of one heart and of one mind. And then the Spirit of Christ could run from heart to heart and assimilate the human agency to become a partaker of the divine nature, to escape all the corruptions that are in the world through lust. The impartation of the Holy Spirit was not hindered, and wherever they went, souls were added to the church of such as should be saved. The gospel was carried everywhere. Let all now understand the representation given by Christ. He shall not speak of himself, he shall testify of me, he shall glorify me. John 16, verse 13, 15:26, 16:14. As the Savior came to glorify the Father by demonstrating his infinite love in all his works, so the demonstration of the Spirit came to glorify Christ by demonstrating that I and my Father are one. John 10, verse 30. This the true disciples of Christ will do, to so assimilate themselves to Christ that in his disciples should be manifest his great love to the world in the expression of their oneness in and through Christ. There is a circumstance given of an underhanded kind of work in the case of Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on bed and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Verses 1 to 16. Verse 17 to the end of the chapter. I wish our churches in every place to understand that when things are done in a deceptive way, when dealings in the Lord's work are not straightforward, but oppressive, using lawyers to take advantage of circumstances, doing things that savor of injustice, then the Lord will just as surely punish those people as He did in the case presented in the 5th chapter of Acts. God has a work to accomplish in the earth in order that the truth shall triumph. And for every hindrance, every exorbitant price exacted, and every connivance of fraud, the Lord will bring upon the actors His punishment. For diverting His means in a wrong channel, the Lord will pass His judgment against the wrongdoer.